You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we've just heard from one of Jesus' final parables before he goes into Jerusalem to do his great work on the cross and in the resurrection. And this one of these final parables, of course, is that of the persistent widow. And he's using it as a way to tell his disciples that they should pray always. In fact, the text says that they would pray always and not lose heart. That's his intent in giving this parable. And as we read this parable, of course, we see two characters. We see a judge and a widow. And what does the widow do? She goes, she has a case to present, and she goes and she basically wears the judge down, nags him until he acquiesces and gives her justice. And Jesus likens our prayer to this in a manner. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But let's consider the widow and consider the judge for just a moment. And again, this sermon, ultimately, we're talking about prayer. We'll return to the subject of prayer here in a few moments. But the judge, we get details about his character. He neither fears God nor respects man. This is unfortunate. A judge of all people, lawyers, judges, people dealing with the law, you would expect they would fear God, at the very least that they would respect their fellow man. But too often, with all of us, the closer we get to the law, the more often we like to disregard it altogether. In my neighborhood, there are so many stop signs, just seemingly unnecessarily. And I have to admit, there are mornings like this morning where I just kind of look both ways and kind of cruise right through them. And I'm a priest. Goodness gracious. So this judge, as close as he is to the law, he has no concern for God, no concern for man. He's supposed to be impartial, and justice is supposed to be blind, and yet he seems to have his thumb on the scales when it's convenient for him. Now the widow, on the other hand, she likely has a legal case, a real cause that's on her side. And again, the law of the Old Testament is stacked in her favor. Read the Old Testament. The people were to look after the widow. They were to look after the orphan. They were to look after those who could not defend themselves and care for themselves. So the law was stacked in her favor. And yet, despite that, and we see this in the prophets, say, look, you've not cared for the widow. You've not cared for the orphan. Time and time again, the people of God have not kept the law. And in this case, the judge of all people seems to be not interested, neither in the law nor in this woman. But she wears him down. She keeps coming. And he says, fine, finally, just leave me alone. I've got more important things to do than adjudicate according to the law. It was supposed to be somewhat tongue-in-cheek this morning. That's his one and only job. And so finally she gets what rightfully she seemingly deserves. The law was seemingly on her side, and she makes her case and finally wears him down. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been worn down and you just acquiesce and you give in? I know if you're a parent or a grandparent this morning, or an aunt or an uncle, you've given in to small children who just dig their heels in and say, please, please. Every Saturday morning we go play soccer, my son plays, and of course, right there in Homewood Park, they conveniently park the ice cream truck. And what's a parent supposed to do? You know, we can only say no so many times. And we hear please, and we say no. And we hear pretty please, and we say, why didn't you say so? Pretty please, I have to obey that. The truth is, we all get worn down. And even this unrighteous judge eventually gives in. Now, Jesus, again, likens all of this to prayer. But he uses it as a way to argue a greater case for God. He says, look, this unrighteous judge is this way. How much more so is God willing to hear you? How much more so is God willing to act on your behalf? The unrighteous judge tarries, and he takes a long time. See, the law, as Martin Luther King Jr. would say, the arc of justice is long. It's slow. We try to work according to the law. It's not always quick, is it? In fact, it takes time. And we make our petitions, we cry out, perhaps righteously, and yet it takes forever. We Auburn fans among the congregation this morning, we know what it means to cry out and not receive what we're asking for time and time again. We'll have a support group gathering this fall for all of us Auburn fans. In any case, crying out is good and as righteous and seemingly right as it is, it doesn't do anything, does it? It takes time. And like children, we feel like we deserve often. Or if, this is me speaking here, customer service. I feel like I can demand things. You know, I'm a paying customer. I deserve service. And I'm usually pretty kind and patient and respectable, at least I think I am, until customer service lets me down. And then I write the nastiest emails you've ever seen. About 10 years ago, and this is apropos to the parable, I had lost a pair of sunglasses in a rental car. We had gone on vacation, we brought the car back, and of course I had forgotten to look in the compartment where you keep your sunglasses. I left them there. And about half an hour after dropping the car off, I got home and I forgot my sunglasses. So I called the rental car agency and said, hey, I think my sunglasses may be in the car. Would you please check it out? Oh, Mr. Gardner, we're right on. We'll call you right back. An hour goes by. Of course, I don't hear anything. So I call back and they said, oh, we looked. You know, we cleaned the car. There were no sunglasses. Maybe I left them on the beach. I don't know. Well, a few days go by and I know that I had them on the car ride home. I know that I did. And I insist. I call back. I said, hey, would you please just check one more time? Well, Mr. Gardner, we've rented the car out. Once it returns, we'll be sure to check out whether or not your sunglasses are there. And so the car comes back, and of course, they say, no, it's not there. Well, I know it's there. I know it's there. I start sending emails to corporate, long, persistent, nagging emails. And you know what it did for me? Absolutely nothing. And I had a righteous case. Finally, I called and said, hey, is the car there? And they said, yes, it's here. I don't know how I finagled to get them to say it was there. So I drove back there. The car door was unlocked. I opened the compartment, and you know what was there? My sunglasses. The whole time. After about 2 weeks, they'd been there the whole time. But the point being, I was persistent, and it did nothing for me. I had a righteous case. At least I thought I did. They were actually there, and it did nothing for me. But forgetting all along the way, it was my fault in the first place. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I left the sunglasses. And this is the truth about the law. When we try to play according to the rules, when we try to make a demand on God or others, maybe we're righteous, maybe we're in the right, but more often than not, there's a chink in our armor, and there's something that we've forgotten, and there's something left out to the story. We don't tell the full truth about ourselves. We think we deserve, and we think we can demand, and yet it does nothing for us. So if Jesus is likening this to what prayer is actually like, he's using it as a contrast. He's saying, look, we pray always and we don't lose heart. Not because we wear God down. Not because we're persistent and we can fight. And if we just hold on, we can make God cry uncle. But rather, we pray always and we don't lose heart because God keeps his word and God keeps his promises. And prayer according to the law is a dead end. I had an experience in my undergraduate years. I was still very much a Christian, very much believed in grace in theory, but in practice, I acted like someone who lives according to the law. And I had a friend who was going through a hard time, and I wanted to pray for this person. It's a good and good instinct to have, right? But I thought, if I just pray enough and pray hard enough, God will hear me and bless my friend. I remember sitting in my dorm room one evening, and I decided to lay down and pray loud and frequently and with my face, with tears in my eyes, and surely God would hear me. And after about 30 minutes to an hour of doing this, without hearing an audible voice, I could hear God basically say, I hear you. Get up. I knew what you were going to ask long before you lied down and made this spectacle of yourself. This is true of Christians, though. We believe that we can convince or cajole God like an unrighteous judge, and eventually he'll give in. But prayer according to the gospel is that God already hears us. As Jesus says elsewhere, your heavenly Father knows what you need and what you desire long before you ask. And he's a good and gracious Father who gives freely, not because we demand it, but because that's who he is. When we have that truth sinking in for us, it shapes and reshapes our prayer life, where we no longer have to wear God down, but rather we pray, God, thank you. Thank you for all that you've actually given me. Law prayer says, give me, give me, give me. Gospel prayer says, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you. So I don't know what kind of problems you're dealing with in this life today or this week or this month or this year, But I know you've prayed about it. I assume you have, at least. And often, when giving advice, that's the first thing we throw out. Well, have you prayed about it? Well, of course I have. Of course I have. As we hear the gospel that God freely gives, and Jesus says this, he says, I tell you, God will give justice to them speedily. Unlike this unrighteous judge, God moves quickly. And he's moved quickly. On the cross, he gave the verdict. It is finished. We didn't have to wait for that. And you and I are standing in the shadow of the cross. We receive that grace and that promise that it is finished and that we don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to convince God. We don't have to buy him off. But instead, he hears us. And unlike law prayer, where we ask that we would demand and get what we deserve, the gospel prayer is we haven't gotten what we deserve. Instead, we've received mercy. And when that washes over us time and time again, unlike the angry email that I send or the kid who says, pretty please, we can say, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you've justified me. You've given me your justice, your righteousness, not that of the law, but that of your grace. And it reshapes the way not only that we pray, but how we relate to God and relate to one another. Not demanding, but rather receiving. So this morning, whatever you're going through, God is fully aware of it. And as you cry out, he cries out in your spirit. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that long before we open our lips, when we don't have the words to say, the Spirit is interceding inside of us, way deeper than our words, with groans and aches and pains for us. So this morning, God is not silent. He's not asleep at the wheel. He hears you. He's given you more than you can imagine already. And in due time, as we're patient, we're not waiting for God to be worn down, but we're waiting for him to reveal the fullness of his glory, which is found in the cross and the resurrection of Christ. And we hold on not to convince him, but we hold on because we know he's sure to his word. And so when he says, don't lose heart, that's not our power, but he gives us a new heart. At the end of this parable, he asked the disciples, when the Son of Man comes to earth, do you think he'll find faith here? And of course, it's a rhetorical question. He doesn't find faith. If he were to find faith, then his whole project was unnecessary. Faith was already here. There was no need for the cross and resurrection. But instead, his cross and resurrection and his Spirit given to you and to me creates faith. It gives what it demands. And when we have that, we can say, thank you. Thank you that I've been given far more than I deserve. Thank you that I have been given far more than I could ever ask for. And in due time, I know you're going to give me what I need. I say unto you this morning, do not lose heart. Continue to pray, not because you have to, but because that's who you are. A Christian is one who prays, who can actually pray the psalm that we just prayed together. We can look up to God. We can look up and say, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let our foot be moved. He will watch us. He will not fall asleep. He shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's at our right hand. He will not let us stumble. He will keep us safe from this time and forevermore. The gospel is for you this morning, not because you beg for it, but because God freely gives. As we come with empty hands and expectant hearts, God will not let us down this morning. He gives unto you himself and his promise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.